Weird words.
Vigilante, a radio drama by Jeff Green.
Hostage crisis is in its fourth day. The Alitalia 747 still rests on the runway here in Greece, where it landed 72 hours ago. The four Palestinian hijackers have yet to make any more than the most rudimentary demands for fuel and time. Whether their silence and inaction is a matter of indecision or calculation is as yet unclear. But what is clear is the fact that so far the death count is three, and 49 lives are still in the balance. The pictures you're looking at now were taken just hours ago at Athens International Airport, where negotiators have been desperately trying to find a way out for the hapless victims of this universally reviled crime. Rumors abound. Rumors that the hijackers have killed more than the three whose bodies were thrown into the plane yesterday morning.
Hey, Kayla, are you going to come down to dinner with the rest of us? I am sick of always bringing it up to you after it's gone cold.
Can't miss news.
Yes, yes, there's always other news.
Not James Gospel Nightly News.
Why can't you have just one TV on at a time like most people? You're only watching one. Oh, all right. From now on, dinner will be served after the news.
Their communications to this point have been brief and blunt. They have refueled twice since the hijacking began. It is expected that they will take off at any minute for yet another destination as they seek an unlikely political asylum.
People, they shouldn't hurt people.
News Time Update with James Gospel. The crisis is over. At approximately 11:24 this morning, the door of the Alitalia 747 opened, and all 49 surviving passengers came out, shaken, exhausted, and with an incredible tale to tell. According to the hostages, only minutes before they stepped from the plane, their hijackers had, for no apparent reason, turned their weapons on themselves. Let's look again at the interview with American hostage Peter Bond, recorded only minutes after he escaped that ill-fated plane.
It was insane. I mean, it was all insane. But it was the leader. That guy called himself Power. I think he was getting ready to kill another one. Hell, it could have been me! And, like, he stops mid-sentence, just like that, and he sticks the barrel of his gun in his own mouth. And I noticed they're all doing it, all the hijackers. And they pulled the triggers. It was nuts. But thank God. Thank God.
I was there. I was there.
Out cold again, all the TVs on. What am I gonna do with this boy? Vicky, come in and help me get Ward to bed.
Has he passed out in front of the tube again? Oh, God, what a jerk.
Be quiet. Your own brother. Get that side.
Why can't he go back to the hospital, Mom? He's no good to anybody here.
Stop it. We're lucky to have him home. You know Dr. Magus said he was well enough.
Yeah, well enough to watch TV, but not to get a job. What are we going to do till the welfare checks come? Why don't we sell his TVs? What does he need them all for, anyway? He pulled most of them out of the garbage. Half of them don't work right.
Hush. Come on. Lift them now. That's it.
My mother, my sister, they don't know. They don't know the TV new. But I can go. I can go. There! I make it well. Make it right. I can go.
He moves freely among us. He could be your neighbor. He could be watching this program right now. We know he has killed 6 times. And it could be many more. To repeat, the man that has come to be known as the Bloody Barber after his grotesque habit of shaving his victims after he has brutally raped and murdered them has struck again. The body of 18-year-old Alice Faye Litton was found this morning near the East End shopping mall where her friends last saw her. So far, police are moving in a maze of conflicting clues that either mean the barber is fiendishly clever or that the first murder spawned a half a dozen copycat killings. Either way, there is no end in sight for this hideous series of serial killings.
Girls.
This is James Guster.
Does bad things to them. James Gospel Nightly News says so. He is now there. He is out there, outside my house. I could find him. I could be there. I will be there. I will.
Excuse me, miss.
Oh, you scared me. Where'd you come from?
I'm sorry, I was just sitting over there. I didn't mean to startle you. Would you have a light?
No, please, I have to get home.
You know, you shouldn't be crossing the park like this at night. Not with the Bloody Barber around.
Yeah, I know, I'm late. It's a shortcut. Listen, I gotta go.
Especially someone with lovely hair like yours. I'll bet he'd love to get a hold of that hair.
What are you doing? Is that a razor? Let go of me! No!
Get over there, bitch. I didn't want to hurt you, but now you've gone and messed your hair. It'll take me hours to get it straightened out.
What? What are you doing? Oh, God. Oh, God. Help me. Help me. Somebody.
Takes you there. The News 9 Nightly Report with James Gospel. Top of the news tonight, yet another incredible resolution to an ongoing crisis, close on the heels of Monday's bizarre hijacking incident. The so-called Bloody Barber is dead. His body was recovered from Stanway Park at 11:24 last night, apparently less than an hour after his latest intended victim narrowly escaped his clutches. If that witness's testimony is to be believed, not only did he take his own life, but he did so in a fashion similar to his own heinous murders. We have with us Centertown Police Chief Bertram Underwood. Chief Underwood, you've identified this man as one Randall P. Baker from the West Lake area. What hard evidence do you have that this is the same man that has committed these other horrible crimes?
Well, James, as you know, at this time, we have a freeze on the release of any further hard evidence to the media. I have no doubt that in time all this material will be made available. But what I can say now is that not only have a substantial number of clues been unearthed to link this man to these crimes, but also Baker kept a detailed and highly specific diary of his activities that fills in almost every single question we had.
And what about his mysterious death? Is there any explanation for it? Are we to believe the testimony of Meredith Hopewell that he took his own life?
There is no doubt about it at this time. The evidence is clear. He shaved his own head, performed a horrible act of genital self-mutilation, then took the razor to his own throat.
And have you any kind of explanation?
How someone could be so deranged? I'll leave that to the psychologists. We can only thank God he did it.
Right.
Chief Underwood, thank you for your time. We'll be back with more.
I am the one. I am the one that is there. I am the one that watches, that acts, that makes it well. The one.
Mom, is Ward ever going to get better?
I don't know, dear.
He doesn't look good.
He won't eat. He just sits in front of that damn TV.
Maybe the doctor would send him to the hospital again.
We might have to pay.
We can't afford to feed him, can we?
No, dear.
Can we sell his TVs now?
Yes, dear. He never looks at the others anymore. I guess he won't miss them.
He's gotten worse, hasn't he?
I hope not.
Things a teenager thinks about. Red boy.
Strange world of pushers and dealers.
There has been no law enforcement against the obscenity.
It's easy to think one person can't make a difference.
People send the electricity into me. I give off heat and light across the street or across the world.
An unmerited gift from God.
Express yourself. And sometimes when things aren't good, that's good.
Also in the news tonight, the ugly story of Hadaro Juarez, the city council member who last week was charged with misappropriation of city funds. Just today, Juarez received no less than 14 further criminal charges that have the 50-year-old politician intimately connected with child prostitution, inner-city drug peddling, and video pornography, among other offenses. The result of an 18-month police investigation, the charges were delivered to the City Council member Hadaro Juarez, victim of an apparent suicide by drug overdose. According to police, Juarez's 12-year-old daughter, Alana, has claimed that just prior to his fatal self-administered injection of heroin, Juarez beat and sodomized her. Though the politician was recently found to be connected to local crime syndicates that had their hands in drugs and child prostitution, he himself was widely known in the community as a teetotaler and a model father. His daughter's claims seem unimpeachable, however, as police have recovered a videotape that Juarez appears to have shot of the entire night's events. This incident is just the latest in a string of bizarre suicides that have been in the news in recent weeks, all involving high-profile criminals. Many people would like to know just what could have possibly inspired this sudden, grisly force of conscience in the world.
I am the one. I am the good man.
Mom, are we just gonna leave him there?
God, he's made a mess. Gross.
We have to go out.
Again? Mom, we've got to be careful. What if we're caught?
We've got to eat. We owe the rent again. I'm already feeding that boy dog food. Just leave him. He doesn't notice anything anymore.
Little they know. I notice the bad one. I am the good. I am.
James Fantwell, the man recently ordered by city officials to destroy his four pit bull terriers after their attack on a 3-year-old Bannerside girl, was evidently himself the victim of those dogs this morning. Neighbors heard Fantwell's screams about 7:30, accompanied by the enraged howls of the terriers. When police arrived on the scene, they found the man dead, the animals reportedly feeding on his remains. In Fallowwood County, 15 are dead and another 12 critically wounded after a 6-hour firefight between rival survival training groups. Just yesterday, the paramilitary schools north of the city were the subject of a special report on this newscast. Yet another in the bizarre coincidences in this weird crime wave. Is TV News, as some critics have claimed, solely responsible? Some have even gone so far as to link last week's sinking of Japanese whaling ships by a school of bowhead whales with recent news coverage of Greenpeace efforts to stop the hunting. Do even whales watch the news? Why is Sally Kirkland dead? On Tuesday, this diminutive primary school teacher was publicly castigated for her insistence on the use of the strap in her classroom. Today, her battered body was recovered from Fenwick Creek, seemingly the victim of a barbaric attack by an unspecified number of preteen children. Yet another unlikely suicide to add to the unnatural body count. Last night, Upton Township Police pulled the body of Gaydon Chemicals president Raymond Tong from the toxic waste dump that he was recently ordered to clean up. Tong apparently drove to the site after having dinner with friends at the Upton Mall and threw himself bodily into the disposal pump. The wheels of some demon justice continue to roll across our city. When will the carnage stop? And what unthinkable connection could this reporter have with this horrifying phenomenon? On yesterday's special report, you heard me call to task those in our society who continue to drink and drive. Today, the death toll on our highways is unbelievable. 27 are dead, and incredibly, police have verified that every single accident was a head-on collision between single drivers that caused the death of both, and that in every single case, both drivers were drunk. The implications of these statistics speak for themselves, and no commentary I could offer at this time would make it any less incredible. Perhaps others with more imagination can come up with some kind of explanation. Tonight, James Gospel is signing off early with this one comment. The reporting of the news is not judgment. That must be left to the courts. The justice system that stands between us and a lawless society. I appeal to whatever force is loose in our land. Let the dying stop.
What are you saying, James Gospel? This is not nightly news. Who are the bad ones? What must be made right? Must be made good. Must be made good.
You got an idea you're good, huh? Now give me a chance to show you. Good. I guess you're good with a rod, too, huh?
Yeah, he's in here.
Whoa, the smell.
That's all
Is he conscious?
I don't know. I guess that's your job to figure out, eh, Doc?
Hey, I'm just a social worker, Sergeant. I am just here to assess the environment.
Oh, yeah. You want to move him?
We have no facilities available right now. Maybe not for some time. This is a real problem. How long do the mother and sister get out?
Oh, jeez, I don't know. It's just shoplifting, but they're repeat offenders, and they couldn't post no bail. Trial date's not till next month. They're being evicted here anyway. I think the judge will put them in a program.
What'll we do with this boy? Oh, I may be able to get him committed at Mapplethorpe in 3 weeks, but till then we'll just have to make do here. I'll see who I can assign for visitations. God, this is sickening.
Oh, shit. They've been feeding him dog food.
I'm gonna use the phone downstairs.
Maybe should turn off the TV?
Ooh. No, that may be all that's keeping him stable right now. Better leave everything just as it is. I'm gonna try and get a therapist in on this right away.
I guess you guys know best. I just hope nobody ever leaves me lying in my dog food like this poor sap.
Who are these people? Maybe bad people. I must ask James Gospel. He will tell me. He always tells me nightly news. I am the one.
I am the one.
I am the one.
I am the one. I go there. I make it
right.
I make right.
Good.
This is James Gospel Nightly News, for the last time. After tonight's broadcast, I'll be walking out of this studio, never to return. I am too objective a newsman, too rational a man, to really believe that I am personally responsible for the bloody anti-crime wave that I have had the displeasure to report over these past weeks. But that I am somehow personally connected with it is something that I can no longer deny to myself. This morning, during City Beat magazine, this station aired a brief item I produced on poverty and crime in the inner city. In that item, I profiled a mother and daughter shoplifting team that were at that time being held in Wainwright Prison awaiting trial. Within 10 minutes of that broadcast, that same mother, a Mrs. Anna Canelaw, stole again. But this time, it wasn't groceries. It was a gun from a guard. She used it to kill her daughter and herself. To compound this senseless tragedy, they are survived only by a 14-year-old boy who is functionally retarded and who, due to severe institutional backlog, is at this moment forced to fend for himself in his now empty family home. No logic in the world could make me accept responsibility for these deaths or the others in recent months that have seemed to come in some uncanny manner in response to the news reports originating on this channel. And yet careful analysis reveals that there is a very clear correlation in a startling number of cases. To put it simply, if I name someone in association with a crime, there is a good chance I am somehow signing their death warrant. It appears that this is not true of other newscasters on this or any other station. Given this apparent situation, however unlikely or bizarre, I feel I have no choice but to resign. I will not sit in judgment, even if only through some otherworldly abstract implication. How this could be happening is beyond mystery to me, as I am sure it must be to most everyone watching right now. But if I may be indulged for this, my final editorial, I would like to put forth a theory. It is a strange theory, equal to these events, but it is the only one I have formulated that even begins to explain them. This theory says we are under the spell of a psychic vigilante. A man or woman with some kind of awesome metaphysical power to influence human behavior at a distance. A self-appointed telepathic executioner who sits in grim judgment on the individuals singled out on my newscasts
as social criminals. As a society, we must turn on such a being as an alien in our midst and destroy it. Vigilantism by itself is evil and threatens all concepts of order and humanity that hold this fragile civilization together. This vigilantism from an occult source must be considered nothing if not demonic, and we must use every power at our disposal to find and end it. If this theory is true, there is a very good chance this so-called psychic vigilante is listening to me at this moment, and so I shall address you directly. Whoever, whatever you are, you have selected me as your spokesman, your judge and jury, your herald of doom. You have heard the names of supposed criminals, and you have reached out and destroyed them. I tell you now, and listen carefully, you are the criminal. You are the one that must be destroyed. Make your last victim the most fitting of all. You are the one. This is James Gospel signing off for good.
Kid's dead. My God, his eyes are bled and his ears. He must have hemorrhaged like a bomb went off in his head. Jesus, this is gonna look great in the news. Shit. I better call this one.
Nightly News with Peter Witness.
It is my sad duty to anchor the news tonight, to take this chair so recently occupied by the truly exceptional James Gospel. Earlier today, just minutes after signing off the evening news and retiring permanently from broadcasting, James Gospel suffered a severe stroke and was pronounced dead on arrival at General Hospital. On behalf of everyone here at Channel 9 and every one of his colleagues in the news community, I want to take this opportunity to pay homage to a great journalist, a wonderful husband and father, and a close friend. Above all, James Gospel was a good, good man.
Vigilante, you heard Rob Eastland as Ward, Ray Stone as James Gospel, Nancy Clark as the mother, Shelley Aaron as Vicky, Barry Blake as the barber, Chuck Collins as Peter Witness. The music was by Charles Fairfield. Vigilante was written and produced by Jeff Green. Just another of the
Weird Words.
from Stranger Media.
To find out more about the works of Jeff Green, go to strangermedia.com.